Hello and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I am Diana Isaacs, and I'm with my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And today, we could not stop ourselves from wanting to do another episode because we wanted to talk about two new kind of innovative news in the diabetes technology space. So one is a new insulin pump approval that kind of caught us by surprise a little bit. And then the other is an update related to the Bigfoot Unity smart pen cap and the acquisition by Abbott and what that means for the future of that product. So we're going to first dive right into the new AccuCheck insulin pump. And Natalie, I'll turn it over to you to kind of introduce that.
So AccuCheck's insulin pump was approved this week by the FDA, and it is a patch pump. But the interesting parts of this product are that there are some reusable parts to it and some disposable parts to it. It does hold 200 units of insulin, and the patch itself, though, can be taken off, and another infusion set could be put on. So if you are someone that uses less insulin, for example, and it's time to change your infusion set, you want to put a new infusion set in with other patch pumps, you have to take the whole thing off and you waste all that insulin. With this new one, you'll be able to take it off, put a new infusion set in, and then snap that pod back on, which I think is really innovative and different. So that is one of the big things. It holds 200 units. The infusion sets are inserted with a separate inserter, and it does come with a PDM. So those are the positives that I thought, oh, wow, this is really new and different and innovative. How many of us have said, oh, the pod didn't do whatever right and I had to take it out, and should I really suck the insulin back out of that pod or not? And, you know, people feel very guilty about wasting insulin because it is such a precious drug. This will help with that and alleviate some of that, I think. To me, the big weight is to get it integrated with continuous glucose sensing. So the first version does not have a continuous glucose sensor one tied to it. But as we know, this is an ACE pump. So it does have the capability, it's been approved that way, to talk to CGMs. And Diana, how do you feel about that? Like, what's your hope for this?
So I always get really excited when there's a new technology offering. And so especially in the insulin pump space, a lot of people love having tubeless insulin pump option because tubing it can get in the way of, like, when you've got kids and pets or you're active. I mean, tubing can be annoying. So having a tubeless pump option, super, super exciting. But the part about it being an ACE pump is probably what I am most excited about, because that really opens the door for partnering with integrated CGM and then algorithms that can automate insulin delivery. And so when I think about this, the first thing that comes to my mind is Tidepool Loop has FDA approval, and that's a mobile app that would be prescription only. It's not currently, it's FDA approved, but it's not, like, available to order yet. But could this be a partner with Tidepool Loop? And then the algorithm could work off of this pump and then work with an integrated CGM, such as, like, the Libre or the Dexcom CGM. So if this can make that happen, wow, I'd be really, really excited for that.
Absolutely. Because one of the things that we love about the Tidepool Loop is the customization of the different settings. It can be customized a little bit differently than some of the other other AID systems on the market, including lowering that fasting glucose target. So I'm really excited about this. I think you and I are both like, let us get our hands on one. Come on, I want a demo in my office right now. I want to play with it. I want to see where we are, but I'm super excited about where we're going with it. You know, that is, I think, the answer. It would be an answer to lots of people who want a different algorithm than what's out there right now, and yet still have that pod-based delivery system.
Yeah, and I think, like you highlighted, there's definitely some unique things. I mean, the fact that some of it is reusable, so there may be just less disposed waste that people might like. I think it looks to me like the setup might be a little bit more complicated than like an Omnipod, where you just put, I mean, you do have to fill it up with insulin, but you put the pod on and then everything through the controller, that insertion, everything occurs through there. This looks like there's a few more pieces and parts, but there's also more customization. So you can do, like, for example, a 6 millimeter cannula or a 9 millimeter. And so having those options, because some people, they get better absorption with a longer cannula. And so having those options, I like. Also, there is a direct bolus directly from the pump itself. So if you don't have your controller nearby, you actually could give it from the kind of the device itself. And that's good because, I mean, people forget their controllers. And so then they, even though it's giving some background insulin, it's not, they can't bolus. And so it's like, well, they can't eat. They can, but their blood sugar is going to go high. So that, those are kind of features that I think make it a little bit different that I'm excited about.
And I think it's funny because, you know, as a clinician, people will say, well, people forget their controllers. And well, you lose your keys as a person without diabetes, right? You forget how to lock the door or leave the, you know, whatever. You know, bolusing becomes such a thing for a person with diabetes or carrying a controller. I left my controller at home. Why would you ever do that? Well, when you have diabetes, you do those things just like you lose your keys. And I want people to think about, you know, people with diabetes are people and they have stress in their lives. And so the first thing out of their head is not always, gee, I wonder where my controller is, right? So I think this bolus button will come in handy when you stop or you run to the grocery store, I'll be fine. Well, there's samples there and you love whatever the sample was and you decide to get something or stop and have coffee with a friend unannounced, right? You could then bolus from that extra bolus button and still remain in target range and continue your life, right? So will it help reduce the burden of people with diabetes? Ultimately, that's the question you and I ask ourselves every day about all therapies, all technology. How do we reduce the burden and improve outcomes?
Definitely. And I think going back to kind of thinking about this future integration, I think it's really good to have choices in terms of different algorithms. And some people might be wondering, well, why do you need another kind of tubeless pump option? Don't we have Omnipod 5. Isn't that enough for everyone? And it's a great system. But I do think having customization, like perhaps with the Tidepool loop and being able to lower those targets a little bit more, or being able to affect some of the additional things we know that can do, is you can announce the type of food. If it's a food that's absorbed more quickly, like a lollipop, versus a food that maybe acts more like pizza, where it is slower and has more of a delayed spike in glucose. So those additional customizations are exciting. I do a lot of management in pregnancy. And so there, we have no FDA approved closed loops for pregnancy, and the targets are much tighter. And so having a system that can go to a glucose target of 87 would be pretty appealing in that population. But also, I know there's some people with diabetes that are not pregnant that might just really like that additional customization. And I think that's where having these other choices, so someone could choose, okay, I like the Omnipod 5 algorithm, or no, I'd like to have a different algorithm that I can adjust a little bit more. Having those choices is really nice to have.
And also then opening it up to which CGM can you have, right? And which CGM does your insurance cover? I think as time goes on, we're going to see more, this brand is preferred over that brand. And so an ACE pump should be able to talk to different CGMs and different algorithms and truly open the doors to a open choice, like almost like a cafeteria style, you know? And then your insurance says, oh no, you don't get this anymore. You get this one instead. You can say, fine, I'll go do that. And you can change your algorithm and do that to me, or your brand of sensor or your whatever, or there's an update in the algorithm because there are disposable parts of this and reusable parts. One, my only question is, can we update it, right? And how does that all work? And I think we're going to have to get our hands on it to see how that will all integrate. But again, it's about choice. And so I would love to have, you know, 6, 7, 8 different options on the market where people can choose what feels right for them at any given time.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about choosing CGM as well, because having different choices for like the wear length, the kind of the, can you calibrate at all? Do you not, are you not able to calibrate the,
how often you drink?
the car.
Right. I mean, I think that's going to become a bigger and bigger player as time goes on with CGM in general, right? So yeah, I think you're right. I think that we're both excited and can't wait for the next step to hear what the next step is to this for all of our patients.
Yeah. Well, especially because just in the world of insulin pumps, there's just been so much happening. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where we really just had the three options. We had Omnipod, we had a Medtronic, and we had a Tandem, and that was it. And now, out of nowhere, we've got this AccuCheck Solo that came along. Earlier this year, the Beta Bionics iLet is now commercially available for people. And then we've got the Medtronic 780G got approved earlier this year. And then we have that Tidepool Loop that has that FDA approval. So it's really just been an explosion in this space. And one of the things I love is like on one end of the spectrum, you've got the Beta Bionics iLet, which is really designed to be simpler and meal announcements instead of this strict carbohydrate counting, not even having settings, just putting in the weight and in attaching to CGM. And then on the other spectrum, you've got something like Tidepool Loop, which has a lot of different levers that you can adjust. And so I love that, just that broad spectrum that we will get to choose from.
Well, and our patients can say, right now in my life, I need something really simple. I have, let's say, two young children and I can't do more. I want something really easy. And then 2 or 3 years later, someone might say, now I want something that will titrate me a little bit tighter. I now have time for this. Or someone might say, I travel a lot, or we now have, and we will look forward to having a bigger gamut of all of that. So every time we get a new system, you and I are both excited and we're going to use it with our patients. We can't wait. We don't have a launch date yet. So just like with Tidepool Loop was approved earlier this year, and there is no pump associated with it. FDA approval does not mean shipping date, right? So this AccuCheck Solo pump has been approved. It'll be interesting to see what happens next and then when shipping actually starts.
Totally true. And I remember when Tidepool Loop got approved and we thought, oh, who's it going to partner with? Like, will it be Medtronic? Will it be Tandem? Will it be Insulet? And then we started to hear, yeah, those companies like already have their own products, like they're not partnering with them. And then it was like, oh no, like who will they work with? And we do know Embecta has announced a partnership with them to work on a pump for type 2 diabetes. And so I just get optimistic that now we have this other potential partner. And so it's just, yeah, it's good. The tides are changing. So
exactly.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about, this also surprised me. I guess this just like wasn't on my radar. The fact that Abbott now has acquired or is in the process of acquiring Bigfoot Unity. And this makes so much sense, but I just didn't see it coming. So Bigfoot Unity, for those that don't know, it is a smart pen cap. So it works with most disposable pens. There is a black cap, which goes on a long-acting insulin pen. And then there is a white cap that goes on a rapid-acting insulin pen. And you can program it through a mobile app to basically, you kind of set up like a dosing calculator where it takes the current glucose level, and then based on kind of how much or what a person's going to eat, small, medium, or large, it calculates how much insulin to take and advises the person to take it. And then when they remove that cap to take their insulin, it records that they're going to be taking that insulin dose. So why I say it makes sense about the working with Abbott is it works with Libre too. So that's how it works to calculate that dose. Someone actually takes it, scans their Libre 2 sensor, and that number is used in the dose calculator. And so it makes sense. I'm like very excited about this.
So I agree with you. I think that it, when they first launched, our practice did a handful of Bigfoot Unity pens, and we were using them with patients with great success. The challenge was the way they did their billing model, which was what's called remote patient monitoring. So basically the practice would purchase the equipment because that's how the remote patient modeling model works, and then charge the patient for the downloads and interrogation and visits. And
well, hopefully we're not interrogating.
No, interrogating the data, not the patient, right? You interrogate the data. Thank you. So the insurance wasn't very consistent in the billing, but the problem was the practice owed money back. So I am really glad about, was it almost a year ago now, Bigfoot pulled back and said, people aren't interested in this. This is really more difficult at the clinic level than we ever thought it would be. And they revamped their sales force and they said, let's decide how we're going to do this next. And now that they've been purchased, you know, what's exciting about this, right? Libre 3 integration, what an amazing thing that would be, right? And again, I love that one of the things that it does is say that, you know, you haven't taken your dose, right? So there are some reminders. I think that as clinicians, we struggle with, is this person really taking all they're saying they are on all the right days? And this will help us see and help the patient succeed at a higher level than we would without. There's a lot of unanswered questions. How are we going to get them? Do we buy? Is a pen cap become a prescription item? Does it, you know, and what does that look like? I think there's a lot of unanswered, but as a prescriber of other Abbott products, I'm excited that it was purchased by a company that I think will do good things with it in the end.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Yeah, the remote monitoring, I think, was definitely challenging in terms of not every insurance plan covers it. And it's just a different process than we're not always used to and set up for. And so I think that was definitely a challenge with it. I mean, there's parts of it that are good, reviewing someone's data consistently to kind of overcome therapeutic inertia and make more frequent adjustments. That part, definitely it's the right idea. But I think with them moving to a pharmacy model, it's going to be more what prescribers are used to, and it's going to probably be easier to get it into patients' hands. We've been fortunate at Cleveland Clinic. We've been doing an evaluation program, and so we have a few patients that are on it that have been using it, and we've gotten good experience with it. But one of my concerns with it has just been, well, okay, it works with Libre 2, which is fine. We have patients using Libre 2, but now that Medicare covers Libre 3, and now that there's a reader for Libre 3, I anticipate that the market's really going to be moving to Libre 3, and I don't know how much longer Libre 2 is really going to be around. And so that was really a fear of mine with Bigfoot Unity, is if it only works with Libre 2, what's the longevity of this product? So the fact that Abbott has acquired them leads me to believe that they also care about that question. And hopefully that means that they will definitely integrate with Libre 3 in the future and whatever else is in the pipeline that Abbott has. Also, I'm really hopeful in terms of just the support for it. So right now it works with a separate mobile app, the Bigfoot Unity mobile app. And it's a great app, but the thing is, you can't use both of them together. You essentially have to choose. And that can be problematic if you're used to looking at a person's data in LibreView, and then suddenly it's in a different place and you're trying to find it. That can just back things up. And so with Abbott acquiring them, I'm hoping that they'll kind of think of some of these ideas and basically say, okay, can we just get this data and the dose-taking data just to go into LibreView? Abbott, if you're listening, I would really like that.
Please, right now. Right, yes. And the reason being, right, I mean, you know, I don't download the data in my office. One of the MAs or LPNs or whoever's, you know, sort of tasked with spending their day with me does, right? So it's another system that we have to get into. And all of that, and it, every time that another student comes through or another, we have to train them on another piece of, you know, of download, another download. So this is put here on this one, but it's put here on this one, but it's standardizing those is becoming such an urgent need. I'm excited about the idea of it just showing up right in LibreView, right? The person took 10 units of glargine every night. They missed Thursday only, right? The last time they did it, they were missing 3 or 4 every 2 weeks. Now they're only missing 1. Look at the, and it's encouraging, right? But it's also, we all know how to read Libre data. So the goal would be that it would make it easier. And the second thing really is about scanning, right? These Libre 2s, people want to scan, they think about scanning, and then they don't scan, right? So a lot of people, not everyone, I mean, sometimes we see someone who scans 28 times a day, they love to look at it, they're like, I walked up 3 steps and look what happened, and they love to all the parts, right? It is gonna help the people that don't scan enough, that we get these missed sections of data. With the Libre 3, you don't have to scan. So we're going to get more complete data to make better clinical decisions with the person in front of us. So that's also really exciting. I hope that it's going to happen quickly too.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because even the person that scans the 28 times a day, if they go 12 hours overnight without scanning, that was
right. They miss it. Right. Exactly.
So I love the Libre 3 for that reason, just the fact that real-time CGM, no intervention. And you and I, we actually, so Novo outside the U.S. has a partnership with Libre. And so you and I, when we went to ATTD, we saw this. They had reports that included that insulin taking data in their Libre view. And so I think that would be so beneficial, because as great of a tool as CGM is by itself, sometimes you just look at it and you're like, okay, you ask the person in front of you, like, okay, how much insulin did you take here? Like, when did you forget your insulin? And it's not like the person doesn't remember. And so you're like struggling to figure out, well, how should we adjust this when I don't know like what you're taking, when you're taking it. And so this, I think, will just be a tool to help the person with diabetes and clinicians as well.
And I think we all need to remember that, tell me what you had for breakfast yesterday, right? And it's hard to remember what happened last Tuesday. You know, were you under more stress, less stress? What made your glucose go up? What made it drop? So I think that having as much data as possible to make those clinical decisions and have that open-ended conversation with the person in front of you, it's going to help improve our outcomes, which is what we're all about every day.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for that great discussion, Natalie. And thanks everyone for tuning in to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue. We hope you will join us again next time.